The question today is, did the people in Noah's day have a chance to be saved? We know that, studying the Word of God, that in Noah's day that the people were very wicked. In fact, it says in the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." In other words, they were the whole nation, the whole people, everyone was in a terrible condition. Now, you realize something. The reason they were in that condition is because they had made choices. God gives you the ability to make choices. In fact, Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy, "Choose life," which means to choose right, which means to choose light, to choose truth. You say, but man can't do that. Well, I understand there's a sense that man's influenced by his nature. He's got a nature, a fallen nature, an Adamic nature, a sinful nature, a depraved nature, a totally corrupt nature. And in his upbringing and environment and things of those natures does have an influence upon the individual in choosing wrong. And many times men are so, well, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, that we walked in, our life was controlled according to the spirit of this age, in essence, and the prince of the power of the air, and the flesh, verse 3 says in Ephesians 2. So then, because of our flesh controls us, our spirit, the world has an influence upon us and seemingly controls us, and then the devil, the prince of the power of the air, controls a lost man in that condition, and because of his influence. In other words, he's got, and some would say, two strikes against him. So men chose to do wrong. They chose darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil, and they did every imagination of their hearts, of the thoughts of their hearts, and there was only evil continually. So men were pretty bad shape. But folks, men are in bad shape today because we've still got the same old Adamic nature. And so you realize something. The question we're talking about today is, did the people in Noah's day have a chance to be saved? Well, men say, well, they didn't, because the flood came and they all drowned, it except Noah and his sons and their wives. The eight people got on board the ark, and the ark wasn't big enough to hold them. Well, you have to realize something. Still, they did have a chance to be saved. The Bible tells us, and as we look at and think about the Bible, talks about Noah. Why did they have a chance to be saved? And by the way, this what I want to deal with concerning this is the same as we today have. And as long as we have these three things in our lives available to us, there is a chance for a person to be saved. I'm not going to mark anybody off until these three things are gone out of their life. And so as a result, we find that there was Noah, who was, the Bible clearly defines him in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5, clearly defines him as a preacher of righteousness. Here, let me read that. And he talked about here, "And God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." So we find that Noah was, God called him a preacher of righteousness, because he did the right things. He did those things that was right. And the right thing that he did, of course, was whenever the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so God said, "I'm going to kill the whole crowd." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he moved in the right direction, and by fear he did what God said, because God told him to build an ark, so long, so wide, and so high, and that was to the saving of his house. But the only ones that were going to be saved was those that got in the ark. Well, you say the ark wasn't big enough to hold everybody, but you realize something. God, who's an omniscient God, had all knowledge. He knew exactly who would be trust him, who would lean on him, and who would get in that ark. He knew that. And it's not that he chose Noah to the rejection of the rest of them, but he chose Noah because Noah moved toward God. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You choose right, And God will help, will do things for you. You choose light, and God will give you more light. And that's what Noah did. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and the Lord called him a preacher of righteousness. Now, I don't know exactly how much preaching we would think about proclaiming he did in that day, but I'll tell you, preaching is proclaiming, it's heralding forth truth, and your actions preaches louder than your words. And so when Noah told the people that God's going to send the flood and destroy the nation because of their wickedness and their sin, he carried it out in actuality by building the ark. So every time he and his sons hammered on that ark, I don't know exactly how they built it as far as whether they had nails or wood pegs or what they had, but no doubt there was noise made, and it had never rained upon the earth at that time. But Noah moved with fear, and every hammer he moved up on that ark, every lick he put up on it, it rung across the terrain, no doubt, and the people heard it, and it was passed from mouth to mouth about that crazy man over there who's building the ark. It was really his actions was preaching to those people, wrath is coming, judgment is coming, you better get in the ark. And so there was a preacher of righteousness, but also there was an open door. You realize something that whenever all those times, the deadline hadn't come yet, you might say, in their lives, because there was an open door of opportunity. Well, we could say also there was a striving spirit. I'll deal more with the open door in a moment and let you know that they did have a chance to be saved. But the Bible says in the book of Genesis, again, it says when God saw the people and how they were, he said, verse 3 of Genesis 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, the Spirit of God was present in the Old Testament time. Some people think that the Spirit of God came only on the day of Pentecost, but we know he was present and moved upon the face of this whole earth in darkness in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. And he said, my spirit will not strive with man, but only 120 years. In other words, there's that striving, a struggling with the sinner, like Jacob did at the brook Peniel, and bringing him down. Took the Spirit of God to wrestle him down that day, and that he might come to the end of himself and recognize himself as the old surplanter, the old trickster, so that God could do a work in his life and change him unto Prince with God, or Israel, as his name was changed to. But there was a striving spirit in those days, and God said it's going to be 120 years. And by the way, Noah wasn't 120 years in building the ark. Some people think he built the ark, took 120 years. They use this verse of Scripture to prove that, but you'll read the Scripture, man waxed worse and worse after God said, my spirit will not strive but 120 days. And then man did every imagination of his heart. God said, I'm going to kill the whole crowd. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah walked with God, which is a continuous action verb, which means there's some time spent before God said to Noah, you, your wife, your sons, and their wives are going to go in that ark. And as he spoke to them, it appears they were right there. And as a result of that, we looked and read and studied in chapter number 7 of Genesis and saw that the oldest boy was only 100 years old when he went on the ark. So therefore, we don't know how long Noah built the ark. But if he was only 100 years old and they was already married, and then if they married at 20 years, which I doubt, 20 years of age, which I really doubt at that day and time. But the thing about it is, if they did, it was 76 years or less that Noah built that ark. And but all that time, there was a striving spirit with man trying to tell them, hey, you need to get in the ark. Wrath is coming. And then here comes along Noah and preaches, and he proclaims in his mouth and also by his actions that the wrath is coming. And he built the ark as he hammered on that ark. It told the people that God's coming, going to judge you. You better be prepared to get in the ark. And so as a result, one day, of course, God said it's time. And from what I understand, and by the way, there was also a witness during that time, the man Methuselah, who lived, the oldest man that there was, that was Enoch's boy. And Methuselah lived 969 years, and he died. But his name means, when I die, the deluge shall come. The flood shall come. So everybody, every time they met Methuselah, he introduced himself to anybody during those days. it was a witness to the people that God's going to send judgment. You better be prepared for judgment to come upon the earth. And so there was a chance. There was a striving spirit. There was a preacher of righteousness. There's the witness even of Methuselah. Now, according to tradition, the best we can understand, Methuselah died. And right after Methuselah died, I believe God told Noah to get inside the ark. Come into the ark. God was on the outside, and God was on the inside of that ark. And when Noah went into the ark, from all indication, there was an open door for 7 days with Noah and all the animals inside the ark waiting for God to close the door. So God gave them 7 extra days, and no doubt they laughed and made fun of Noah, but there was an open door that day for 7 days, even after that, and maybe Noah even told them to come into the ark. After all, he knew many of them, no doubt, and they was kin to them. As for, I know they'd been 1,656 years from Noah's death, from Adam's day, but still, there was a lot of closeness, kinfolk, if you please, in that time. And the thing about it, only Noah and his family got in because they believed the message. They believed the truth, and they acted upon it, and they got in the ark. But the question we're dealing with today is, did the people in Noah's day have a chance to be saved? Yes, sir, they had a chance to be saved because they had a preacher of righteousness, and they had an open door, and they had a striving spirit. And folks, as long as you've got these three things, and these three things exist in your life, then there's hope as long as they're there. Now, I know that the Bible said in Romans 1 that God gave them up to vile affection, uncleanness, and reprobate mind. An old writer wrote down that man's not reprobate until he's 1,000 times reprobate in our eyes, if you please. So as a result, we don't know where God's line is drawn. We don't know when God's done with a man. But we just keep heralding forth the truth, the message, as the preacher of righteousness, and know that there is a striving spirit who's working in this day of grace, and that gives man a hope and can save them. Just like in Noah's day, there was that open door, that striving spirit, and a preacher of righteousness. And as long as we have those three things in our life, hope is alive. And there's help on the way. And man can be saved today. I don't care who he is. If he's not crossed God's deadline, and we're no judge of that. I know that you can send away the day of grace. I understand that. But as long as God's Spirit is dealing with you, striving with you, respond to that light. Respond to His touch. Respond to His striving, and He'll save you. Man can be saved in that day. And in this day, because there's a preacher of righteousness, a striving spirit, and an open door. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you, is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.